podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Several weeks ago, actually, end of June, God really started tugging on my heart. And really, I'd say speaking to me. I'm a little Pentecostal on that one. Speaking to me and tugging on my heart about this theme of loving people. And just people in general. At that point, I didn't know I was going to get the opportunity to share this morning. But I really started reading and watching documentaries slash like stand-up comedians talking about people and the importance of people. And really hit me hard, this concept of loving people and having a heart for people. And I found myself on our church's webpage. Have you guys ever checked out our church's webpage? Yeah? Yeah, we have one. Okay, not very many. Awesome. So if you go to our church webpage and you click on More About Us, it'll lead you to this screen. It'll say our mission and our values here at Quaker Gap. And our mission is obviously glorify God by growing Christ-like people. And that's something I think we're very familiar with. We know that. But then it has a list of 10 values that we have here at Quaker Gap. And in the order that they're on the website, it says a heart for worship, a heart for godly leadership, a heart for community, a heart for stewardship, a heart for creativity, a heart for God's word, a heart for prayer, a heart for people, a heart for missions, and a heart for discipleship. A heart for people is on our church's website as to one of the 10 values here at Quaker Gap. And I think in the wake of everything that's taken place in these past couple days, I think God was preparing my heart for this message this morning. And I want to share with you what it means to have a heart for people. And so our verse this morning is actually found in John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35. And we're going to bounce around between a whole lot of scripture, but most, if not all of them, will be on the screen for you. But John 13, 34 and 35 says this: "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." God, thank you for your love. God, thank you for your son and his sacrifice, God. God, as we take these next few minutes to look at your word and this concept, this idea of loving people, God, would you speak like only you can? More of you and less of me, God. Would you soften our ears and open our hearts to what you have to say, God? It's in your holy and precious name we pray. Amen. So, what is love? And that's where you have to start, because I want us all to be on the same page about what love is. And so I'm going to give you the definition. Daniel has three favorite books that he, basically the only books he ever read. And one would be the Bible. Two would be Webster's Dictionary. And three would be the K. Random, I know, but I had to read it in eighth grade, and I loved it. It's a great book. Yeah, sweet. And so is the Bible. But we're going to look at the other two, because the K doesn't tell me anything about love. But Webster's Dictionary will define love as a strong affection for another arising out of kinship or personal ties, maternal love for a child, warm attachment, enthusiasm, or devotion, the object of attachment or devotion, unselfish, loyal, and benevolent concern for the good of another. The Bible will describe love in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. So I've given you what Webster's Dictionary says about it and what the Bible says about it. But I also believe that the best example of love is found in God. God is the best example. 1 John 4, 7 through 8 will put it this way: "Dear friends, let us love one another, For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Your first point for you this morning, when it comes to a heart for people, is we have to understand that God is love. This morning, as we're sitting here in this church building, odds are you are sitting beside someone that you love. Whether that be your spouse, a child, a parent, a significant other, odds are you are sitting beside someone that you love. And maybe you're like, eh, no, I'm not. Okay, sorry. Odds are you love someone in this building. And maybe you're not sitting with them because you're sitting with the youth. But hopefully, youth, you love each other. But maybe you're like, man, I'm not sitting. But across the room, you know, there's Steve. I love Steve. And so if you look around this room, odds are you love somebody in this room. After all, God is love. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Matthew 22, 37 through 39, I'll put it this way. Jesus replied. So in my Bible, it's in red because Jesus is speaking. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Everyone knows that verse. Most of us know that verse. I think a lot of times we focus on that first part. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And we miss out on the second half. Second half being, love your neighbor as yourself. So I want to focus on the tail end of verse 39 where it says, love your neighbor as yourself. So many times in my life, I've focused on the love your neighbor part. Love your neighbor as yourself. And I focus on the love your neighbor. Let me be honest with you. If this is Jesus speaking literally, dude, I'm good. I have some of the best neighbors on the face of this planet. And they love God, and they love people. And those 13 cows are phenomenal. But I also have really wonderful neighbors. Rob and Lee are our neighbors, and they're phenomenal neighbors. And so if Jesus is speaking literally, then for me and Ashley, we've got it set. I love my neighbors. And I focus on that part for so much of my life that I've missed out on that tail end, which says, yourself. Point number two is we must love ourselves. The basic concept, it's a basic concept, and at its root, so many things that are going wrong with our world today are wrapped up in loving ourselves. There are countless young people caught up in not knowing who they are. They're confused, they're lost, they're scared because they don't love themselves. They don't know themselves. If I don't love myself, then this verse changes drastically. Say I hate myself. That verse changes to hate your neighbor as you hate yourself. I can't stand me. Well, then don't stand your neighbors because you can't stand yourself. And by all means, there's enough hate in the world today. We must love who we are, what we look like, what we sound like, who we act like. Because after all, you have been fearfully and wonderfully made by God. In His image, you are His masterpiece, set apart by Him. And so therefore, that first part is we must love ourselves before we can get to this next one. I can't move to the next point if you don't love yourself. And so if you're sitting in the room this morning and you don't like who you are, maybe you don't like who you've become, maybe you can't stand yourself, maybe you are just ugh with who you are. This next point, really, we can't jump that border. Because you have to love you. You have to love the person that God has made, which is you, before we can move on to point three, which point three is you must love one another. But you can't love someone else if you don't first love yourself. Romans 12:10 says this, Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. As a church family, we are devoted to one another. God has called you to this church at this time for a purpose. It's not by chance or by mistake that you ended up at Quaker Gap Baptist Church. It's not by accident that you're here this morning. However, in the craziness of this busy world that we actively live in, each and every one of us, it has become so easy to be devoted to the church, but not devoted to each other. And Romans 12:10 says it very clearly, be devoted to one another in love. It doesn't say be devoted to Quaker Gap Baptist Church. It says be devoted to one another in love. What I mean by this is it has become the norm. It has become socially acceptable within the church for you to come to church on Sunday morning, shake some hands, smile at some people, sing some songs, listen to a sermon. It's done. I'm gone. Do it again next week. It's become socially acceptable for us just to be at church. I believe in my heart of hearts that we, the church, are called here and now for so much more than a pew filler, a number on a chart. We have been called to be devoted to one another in love. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you shook someone's hand in this church for the first time? When was the last time you invited someone from this church out to eat other than your extended family? When was the last time you had someone over to your home to just do life together? Oh, but Daniel, now wait a minute. You don't know how busy my schedule is. I don't have time to fit in Joe Schmo from aisle 7, seat 6. I don't even know their name. How dare you tell me that I need to have them over for fellowship? Well, Daniel, now wait a minute. You know, my finances are so tight, I can barely feed my family. Now you're telling me I've got to take someone else and their crazy kids out to eat and feed their family? What is wrong with you, Daniel? Stop. I didn't say it. Romans 12:10 just told you, be devoted to one another in love and to honor one another above yourself. If you and I can't love ourselves and one another here in this church family, we got a problem. We got a big problem. I was here early this morning. I got the privilege to look at those directories, and you guys are beautiful. You guys take some really good pictures. And as I was walking around the church praying for you, by your pictures, man, we are blessed with a multitude of families across a wide generation of ages, professions, backgrounds, and we are blessed. But as I look through pictures, I'll be bold and tell you, there's pictures, I don't really know certain people in the directory. I was like, man, I've been here for 9 years. My sister texted me this morning with our Facebook time hop. 9 years ago today was my first Sunday at Quaker Gap. And I have grown a whole lot of facial hair. Haven't shaved since I arrived, but 9 years ago, and there are people who have come over those years that I haven't had the privilege of meeting, and that's my fault. Because I've made excuses for how busy life is. But if I can't love you in this church, as beautiful as you are, and as many things as we have in common, as loving the Lord and going to the same church and believing the same things, then this next point's going to be a toughie. Point 4, we must love our enemies. Matthew 5:44 says it this way, I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, Whoa, Daniel, now you've gone too far. Wrap it up back at point three, because I'm not going to love my enemies. I mean, it's one thing for me to love some of these people in this church. Now you're telling me I got to love my enemies? Come on. I didn't say it. Matthew 5:44 said it. Word of God. In a world full of hate, prejudices, discrimination, social injustice, and hurting people, you and I, as believers, as followers of Christ, must love everyone. Even our enemies. Even that guy at work that's trying to steal your job. Even that kid at school that's picking on you. Even that person that has stolen from you for the last time. Why? Why? Thank you for asking. Point five, we must love like Jesus. John 13:34-35 puts it this way, a new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You ask, why do I have to love my enemies, Daniel? Because Jesus did. And Jesus is the greatest example for us as to how we should live. Love your enemies. I always think back when that verse comes up, or when a youth says they have a problem with someone, I always think of Jesus when he goes to the well and asks the Samaritan woman for water. And if you don't know, for Jesus, a Jew, to go to a Samaritan woman and speak to her would be the equivalence of Tom and Jerry from the cartoon to sit down and share a block of cheese. It would be the same thing as Coyote and the Roadrunner to stop and have coffee together. It'd be the same thing as me sitting down with someone from ISIS and having a conversation. It just didn't happen. And for Jesus to say, you know what? I'm going to sit here and I'm going to talk to this woman. I'm going to have a conversation with her. I'm going to call her out on some things. But ultimately, I'm going to offer her living water. It's a perfect example of loving our enemies. John 15:12-13 says this, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. Here's where it gets real. And if we can't agree to the first, second, three, two, three, four, and five, then this one don't matter. Point six says, you must be willing to die for those you love. Let me give you a real quick recap. You must be willing to die for those you love. If you point a gun at my head this morning and say, only you or Ashley lives, bye-bye. Point a gun at my head and say, only you or Riley lives, bye-bye. Easy choice. And as you sit beside the person you love, that's your kin or that's your spouse or your child, there's probably an easy choice for you as well because you love that person. Love each other. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down their life for one's friend. If you truly love, then you'll set aside your hopes, your goals, your dreams, your aspirations to make sure that that person has a relationship with God. So we'll take it different. I mean, I have no problem dying this morning for my family. And I would say most men in this room would agree. Most women would agree. But am I willing to put aside my hopes and dreams and goals and aspirations to make sure that those two people know the Lord and love the Lord? I have a friend who's been in ministry for a long time. He has four kids. And they are all grown-up adults, are actually older than me. And every time he's asked, all right, you're in a sinking boat, which child do you save? I never got it. Never got it. Because he'd always say, this one. I was like, wow, that's kind of rude. What about the other three? recently had a conversation with this man. He said, well, those three, I know where they're going. This other child, I don't. And so really, this is a conversation in June, which probably sparks this whole love people concept, because in ministry, it's easy to love people, but we can lose sight of family. Question for you, is your job, your profession, has it become more important than the family that God has gifted you? Would you set aside your passion, your aspiration, your goals for that person sitting beside you to make sure that they knew the Lord, they felt the Lord's presence, they felt loved by God? As some of you nod yes, it's an obvious answer, I believe. But if we go back to point three, it says you got to love everyone. You're a church family. We're tying this all together here. Great love has no one than this than to lay his life down for someone he loves or for a friend. We've been called to love ourselves, but also to love everyone. So yeah, you're sitting by someone you love, your spouse, child, significant other. What about the person across the church this morning? Maybe you don't know their name. Maybe you haven't had a conversation with them in years. Are you willing to set aside your goals, aspirations, so that they can know that God loves them? So that they can know that they are important. So that they can know that they are a valued part of this church. Not so many nods. Go back to that question. When was the last time you looked at your family, and I am guilty, said, hey, instead of us going out to eat, let's invite so-and-so, and let's just go have lunch with them Sunday. When's the last time you did that? Let's take it a step further. Point four, love your enemies. Woo! Are you willing to set aside your hopes and dreams and goals and aspirations for the people who are out to get you? For the guy that wants your job? For the person that's picking on you? For your enemy? Are you willing to set aside everything that you are pushing for to make sure that that person knows that God loves them? Are you willing? In my heart of hearts, I know that Jesus would say yes to all three of those questions. Why? Thank you. He died on a cross for family, for friends, for his enemies, for you, for me. Died on a cross because he loved us. John 13, 34 and 35, new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. A heart for people. Do you have a heart for people? Simple question. Do you love people? One of the things that drew me to Quaker Gap 9 years ago today was the love. There is just it's a family. From the first day I walked in as a 22-year-old straight out of college, and the one I was doing was loved. And that's one of the areas I think we do wonderfully with at Quaker Gap. But let's remove the four walls and look outside. When was the last time you shown love to a neighbor, an enemy, someone you can't stand? When was the last time? So we go back to point one. God is love, and he loves you. Point two, you got to love yourself. And so if you're sitting in this room and you're struggling with that, you don't know who you are. You don't know how you got where you're at. You're just struggling with loving the person that God created that's you. Man, I want to give you an opportunity today. As we close with We Fall Down, I want to give you an opportunity to come forward and talk to God about it. Take some time and say, hey man, God, I don't know how I got here. I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know what this is, but I need to learn to love myself so that I can follow these other four principles from your word. And if you need someone to pray with you, I would love to. Darshan would love to. We have deacons here who would love to pray with you. Maybe you got that. Maybe you're like, I love me, man. I sound good, smell good, look good. Cool beans. Are you struggling loving others? Are you struggling with showing Christ's love to other people? I want to give you an opportunity this morning to do just that, and not at the altar. I want to challenge you to step out of your comfort zone. Maybe walk across the church and invite someone to do a meal. Maybe not today. Maybe you've already got plans. But to fellowship with them and to show them that you love them for them. And now the really hard one. I want to challenge you this week to love your enemies. Find a way this week to demonstrate God's love to that person that's in the back of your brain right now. Yep, there we go. You're like, oh, crud. Called me out on it. To show them God's love. To show them that even though you may not get along, and even though you don't jive because of God and His love, you're willing to show them love. And then, love like Jesus. Man, this week, love like Jesus. Look for opportunities to show people that you love them. Look for opportunities this week to show people that through you, they are loved. Because by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Simple concept. Maybe a little elementary for you. But one I think we've lost sight of. Loving people. God, thank you for this beautiful day. God, thank you for your word, that it is actively pursuing us. That it is relevant for our lives day to day, God. God, thank you for each one of the families represented in this building this morning. God, thank you that they chose to wake up and come worship you, God. Thank you that you are love. Thank you that you gave us the best example of love through your son, Jesus. God, thank you for sending him to die for our sins. Thank you that through his sacrifice and your grace, we are forgiven. God, I pray for anyone in this room who may be struggling with an identity issue or loving the person they are that they've become. God, will you remind them that they are your masterpiece and that you love them and you created them just the way they are. They are perfect in your sight, God. God, will you help each and every one of us this week, this month, this year, the rest of our lives to show love to the ones we love and the ones we may not love, but to show love, God, like you did. To be willing to set aside our priorities and our goals for that opportunity for someone to feel your love and come to know you in a deeper and closer relationship. God, we thank you for who you are and for all that you do for us, God. It's in your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.